I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, the Bears rallied to win, but that's not the big takeaway from their preseason game against the Chiefs. We'll talk about all that more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, the Bears rallied to win 29-27. It was Tyson Bagent beating up on some third and fourth stringers late in the game, but we got to see a full first half of Caleb Williams in the starting offense. What do you think?
Not good. And I can tell you that's the opinion throughout the Bears right now. If you look at this on paper, you're going to see that Caleb Williams had a pretty good stat line, 11 of 15, 113 yards, a touchdown, a 117 passer rating. That is not really what happened. That the bulk of that came in a two-minute drill against the Chiefs backups. Caleb and the first team offense got three possessions against the Chiefs starting defense, and it was a three and out, a six and out, and then a failure to cash in on a first down in the red zone with a touchdown. I believe they had first and 10 at the 15, and then second and five at the Chiefs 10, and couldn't get in from there, ended up having to kick a field goal. And it was a lot of the problems, Patrick, that you've seen from Caleb Williams before, a lot of the problems that Ben Johnson is trying to fix. You see holding on to the ball too long. You see some kind of basic fundamental procedural issues. They have a fumble on the very first play of the game as he's trying to hand off on a sweep to Zacchaeus. And Ben Johnson afterward was clearly dismayed by how little progress the offense has made. And there seemed to be some momentum going the right way for them leading up to the game in Kansas City. And this really fell flat.
Especially when the person on the other side of the field did what he did. And that was Patrick Mahomes, who had three drives, led them to two touchdowns and a field goal. And I believe all he did, Jason, was average 11 yards a play, something like that. Also, I believe they had 13 first downs in 22 plays, something like that. Both of those are obviously just remarkable numbers.
Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, he made a preseason game look as easy as it's supposed to look. Preseason games are supposed to look easy like that, and he did that. The Bears, not so much.
With Caleb, is this reason for alarm, or is this just another data point in a preseason that is featured kind of more good than bad?
I don't think I'm ready to go to alarmed yet. But I don't know what our scale is here, our spectrum of feelings on this. But I would definitely say concerned, because it's not just that there's been a month of practice and preseason games of him working with Ben Johnson. They've really been working together in some capacity for 7 months now.
Right.
Between the offseason and conversations they've had and now training camp and preseason games. And the biggest alarm to me, Patrick, is that Ben Johnson is standing there telling you on August 22nd in Kansas City, I thought we were past this stuff. I thought we were out of some of the sloppiness. And if it's disappointing to him that it looks this way at this point, and he is telling you that publicly, that's absolutely cause for concern. And it could get better from here, but you need everybody listening to this needs to be realistic and honest with themselves about how this looks right now. And it's really not good. And I know that the Chiefs are a dynasty. They're a perennial title contender. They're a title contender again this year. But other teams are good too. The Vikings are good. The Vikings are not Chiefs good, but they're really good. That's going to be a tough defense. They're going to face a lot of really challenging teams that are at or just below the Chiefs level this year. They're in the same league as the Chiefs.
But they're not in the same league as the Chiefs. The Bears aren't, at least.
Well, this isn't like Appalachian State, you know, being like, well, what can we do? You know, we're not going to have a chance against Alabama or whoever. Like, you play in the same league as this team. And every time, Pat, every time that the Bears have played this team since that fateful 2017 draft, when they took Mitch Trubisky and let Patrick Mahomes fall to the Chiefs at 10. Every time the Bears have seen them, even when it's been a preseason game, which has been a handful of those, it's always this reminder of how far away the Bears really are.
Can I play devil's advocate and see what you say to it?
You can try, but I'm pretty disgusted by what I saw tonight.
Caleb Williams finishes the preseason with a pass rating of 120.
Stop it. Stop it.
What do you want?
Stop it. He finished today with a passer rating of 117. I've already debunked this. Next.
In that what? In what?
Because he did it against backups? I'm kidding. Go ahead. Well, he did the other numbers against backups too, Pat, against Buffalo.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what's so interesting is the Bears defense talked all week about, you know, how they, you know, were, you know, trying to be a top five defense after they played three snaps against Mike White. You know what I mean? And in an exhibition game the other day, you know, then they come out today against Mahomes and they don't look good. To me, that's not quite as alarming just because I think that the floor for the Bears defense is a lot higher than the floor for the Bears offense is right now. And quite honestly, I have more faith in Dennis Allen and veterans than I do in you know, an offensive group that's led by a quarterback that still has a lot to prove.
Caleb Williams, by the way, in three possessions against the Chiefs starters on Friday night, finished 6 of 9 passing for 41 yards and a 76.6 passer rating. And out of three possessions, two punts and a missed opportunity in the red zone that ended up being a short field goal. Ben Johnson is telling you that's no good. Caleb Williams is telling you that's no good. Romo Odunze is telling you that's no good after the game. I don't know who you talked to in the locker room as well. My thing is, at every stage, they can only do what's in front of them. So if we're talking specifically, if we shift over to talk about the defense right now, you know, the Bears can't win the Super Bowl in OTAs. They can't win the Super Bowl in preseason game number 1, 2, or 3. They can't win the Super Bowl in week 4 this year. Like, you have to look at where are they at that moment. And so when you look back, you flip back a week to the Buffalo game, yes, they're playing Buffalo second stringers. That's who they're playing. That's who it is. You can't make them put their first string defense and offense out there. And the Bears offensively and defensively did exactly what they should have done to second string players. They cooked them on both sides of the ball. Now you see a better test. And in fact, I would say their most helpful and most revealing test when they're going to play three possessions. I think each side got three. The starters played the starters on Friday night, three possessions each way, right? Mahomes scored on all three, and Caleb and the Bears got 3 points out of their three. So that is the test that was in front of them today. Huge fail. Offensively and defensively, they failed the test. Does that mean they can't bounce back from that? No, but just look at where they're at today. It isn't very good on either side of the ball right now.
There are 17 days, as you and I sit here right now, between today and the season opener. That may change depending on what time you're listening to this podcast. But is there a world in which this was a good thing? And is there a world where instead of carrying some false confidence from beating up on Bill's backups, the Bears now have, you know, a wake-up call with 2.5 weeks to play, you know, or 2.5 weeks to go until they, you know, play a game that actually matters?
I think all information is helpful. And if Friday night in Kansas City is telling you the truth, then you need to listen to it. And I think the guy that really needs to reckon with that is Ben Johnson. And you've seen him do it at times. He was talking going into the Buffalo game about pulling up an old game plan, a game plan from the previous season when he had faced Buffalo as offensive coordinator of the Lions. And he was sitting there looking at the game plan saying, our team is not ready to run these plays. Our offense is not at this level right now. And then he compared that back to a game plan he'd had 3 years earlier with the Lions and said, oh, that came a long way in 3 years. I think that Ben Johnson probably took this job in January thinking, oh, I'm going to launch Caleb Williams into a star right away. I am going to just ignite the offense here with my ideas. And then I think along the way, he has realized there was more work to do than he thought there was, probably on both fronts with Caleb and with the offense as a whole. And I think that the way that Friday night in Kansas City could be helpful to Ben Johnson is he can sit there and really take stock of what this team can handle playbook wise right now. And it's probably not the whole big, exciting Ben Johnson offense that he wants to run right now. The next, what did you say, 17 days is a great, less than that for him, really, because they really need to be ready to go, like, in about 4 days. They need to be able to have a game plan together for Minnesota, because you want to be able to spend a week and a half to 2 weeks working on that. You want to take advantage of kind of the bye week on week zero here going into the season and really maximize your game planning for that. But Ben Johnson is going to need to take the weekend and be honest with himself about what kind of game plan this team can handle in his first game as head coach.
I thought the best play Caleb made all day was an 18-yard run on a play-action pass.
Definitely his biggest play, yeah.
Yeah, and he bootlegged left and against man defense, and the cornerback's back was turned, and the linebacker crashed too hard on the play fake. It strikes me that that might be the kind of play that in the regular season is going to bail the Bears out, you know, once a week, twice a week. And that in the preseason, you just don't see it that often because you just shouldn't be running your quarterback in a preseason game. Do you think that, you know, some of Caleb's athleticism, I don't think we've seen in the play calling in the 2 weeks that that we've seen Caleb out there. Do you think there's a chance that they're sitting on that until the games start to count?
Well, I have a few thoughts on all of that. I think they should be sitting on that. I think you don't want to be using that in the preseason. I think we cannot be having real games where we're sitting here talking about that being something like that being his best play.
Sounds like Justin Fields, doesn't it?
That I already saw that with Justin Fields. That's not getting you anywhere. I think it's a great thing to have in your back pocket, and I think people don't realize how fast and how skilled of a runner Caleb Williams is, because he knows that's not sustainable and the Bears know that's not sustainable. That is a good weapon to have in break glass in case of emergency, but it's not going to be something that works for you consistently. But Patrick, that you do raise one rather interesting point when you mention that, is I think that is part of the appeal to Ben Johnson in taking this job, in the opportunity to work with Caleb Williams. That is something that Caleb Williams brings to the table that Jared Goff doesn't have. That is a new wrinkle, a new weapon that Ben Johnson can find ways to use. But I don't think Ben Johnson is going to build an offense around that like the Luke Getsy, Justin Fields offense.
Well, and there's a way to use your legs to keep the pass alive. And boy, there's nobody on the planet better at that than Patrick Mahomes. How many times did we see Mahomes just kind of slip out of the pocket or you know, run just around somebody's grasp and then make a killer throw? And there's something about those throws too that are just feel backbreaking. And you know, I talked to a couple of the Bears defenders tonight, and you know, they were just saying, like, you know, he kills you on the second play of every play, and that you know, you've got to get him down the you've got to get him the first time because he doesn't need your help once it gets to that second moment.
Who said that?
Jaquan Brisker and Kevin Butler both said that.
I love that. That is so well said.
But I mean, and you and I have talked about this. You know, the comparison between Caleb and Patrick Mahomes is, number one, unfair to Caleb, the same way comparing anybody to Patrick Mahomes is unfair to them. But it's there because they have the different arm angles. They have, you know, maybe the not your prototypical 6'6". You know, 260-pound quarterback build. They're creative and they're fun to watch on the run, but you know, that's kind of where the comparison needs to stop, because you know, stylistically, it's one thing to put the two in the same sentence, but in terms of success and in terms of efficiency and in terms of just being tremendous, boy, they don't deserve to be in that same conversation.
Patrick Mahomes in his second season, and this was after not playing as a rookie, had 50 touchdown passes, won the MVP, and took Tom Brady down to the wire in the AFC title game. It's a few leaps from what Caleb Williams did as a rookie to get to that. It's not a, it doesn't feel like that's something he's on the cusp of right now.
The Bears finished their preseason 2-0-1. You and I can talk about how that doesn't matter because Matt Eberflus went 8-2 in 3 seasons in the preseason. You and I could dig up old Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky stat lines from the preseason that were really good. And you know, that's proof that it's no guarantee. How has this gone in your mind? First, just with Caleb, and secondly, just kind of writ large. Are they where you thought they would be? I mean, I think we've established that at least offensively, they're not where they need to be yet. But what did you think the pace would be?
They're not where I thought they would be, but they have – there's so much potential. And I don't know how long we can talk about potential without there being results. But they have so much potential to improve rapidly if Caleb improves rapidly. You saw this a couple of years ago with Jordan Love in Green Bay in his first season as a starter, where – Green Bay wasn't very good in the first half of the season, and he wasn't very good in the first half of the season, except against the Bears. And then when Jordan Love, when things really kind of clicked for him, he took off and their team took off. I mean, there is no more drastic way to improve, Patrick, than to have a young quarterback who takes off. Mm-hmm. And we all see the talent with Caleb Williams. We all believe that they have gotten him coaching expertise in Ben Johnson, and you have to like your chances of that hitting at some point. But you would be delusional. Bears fans, please listen to me. I know that Patrick knows this, but I don't know if everyone listening to them knows this. You would be delusional if you are saying that that's happening right now, because it just isn't. You're following people on Twitter if you think that's what's happening right now, because they're just not there now.
Yeah. The hope is not a plan. And I think it's one thing to hope that this offense works out well. It's disingenuous to say that you see it, because there just hasn't been enough to see. Like you said, there have been glimpses. You know, I think that Colston Loveland has shown us on the backfields of Hallis Hall that he is going to be a weapon right away. And I'm not sure that I knew that going into training camp. I think Luther Burden showed us that he'll be a weapon eventually. Maybe not right away. I think Roma Dunze has established himself as their number one receiver, and DJ Moore is going to be the do-everything guy. Like, we've seen flashes of what this thing could be, but to say, for anybody to say that the Bears have put it together in any meaningful way, like I said, it's just not the case.
Well, we didn't think that leading up to Kansas City either.
For my money, the defense is a little better than I thought it would be, and I think it's a little better despite losing – Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon for, you know, Jalen all of camp and Kyler most of camp. You know, that's a pretty high degree of difficulty to still look pretty decent. And I think they have.
You are making a great point there, that when we're laying out the issues with the defense on Friday night, no Jalen Johnson, one of the best in the league, no Kyler Gordon, one of the best in the league at his position, and no Grady Jarrett, Pat, who is not hurt. He just sat out. Tremaine Edmonds also was out. He has a minor injury that they don't think will be an issue going into week one. But Grady Jarrett is the one that I'm a little hung up on, because that is something they just have not had in so long. Just a game-wrecking, real problematic defensive tackle. And I wasn't sure, to be honest, if they were getting that in Grady Jarrett when they signed him, because he's older and he had a down year last year and a big injury the year before. But man, Grady Jarrett on the practice fields, we haven't seen him in any of the preseason games, but Grady Jarrett on the practice field has looked unbelievable. I mean, he is so much more. You don't pay a guy $16 million a year or whatever he's getting to come in just to be a mentor. He has been a force up front. So I do think that will make a big difference once he's back.
Do we think Akeem Hicks was the last time they had somebody who could get to the passer from the defensive tackle spot?
It has to be, right? I mean, they've tried with other guys since then. They tried to sign Larry Ogunjobi that first year, and it didn't work out on the failed physical. That is not a position that they have thrown premium resources at since Akeem Hicks until they signed Grady Jarrett.
The Bears had one sack today, and it was from Daniel Hardy. That's not acceptable. And I think it's fair to wonder, you know, the longer we go without Montez Sweat flashing in a game and Dio Odengbo flashing in a game, I think the more concerning that has the potential to be. But, you know, looks like Dennis Allen's going to have to do what Matt Eberflus learned to do, which is dial up blitzes and take chances and hope to get to the quarterback that way.
Yeah, he's got to solve the same problems. He's got to solve the pass rush problem. He's got to solve the Tyrique Stevenson problem, and he's got one less chip now to work with now that Terrell Smith is out. And he's got to find a way to make Tremaine Edmonds a dynamic playmaker the way that Roquan Smith was and is, because that's the spot Tremaine Edmonds was brought in to fill.
I think it looks like Tyreek's going to win the starting job opposite Jalen, provided Jalen Johnson does return. Nashawn Wright, just a terrible, terrible first quarter. Today, he commits two penalties on the first pass play of the game, a face mask penalty and pass interference. Later, he gets toasted for a 58-yard completion, in which Tyquan Thornton just sprinted right past him. And then right at the end of the quarter, just for good measure, he got a legal hands to the face called away from the ball. So, you know, you feel bad for the guy.
He's on the team.
Yeah, he's on the team. I just don't think he's starting. And you feel bad because for somebody who's strung together, you know, 4 months of really competitive football, his last big audition under the lights did not go well.
No, but it does. I mean, it doesn't negate his entire camp, which has been really good. And again, that's a position where the Bears have a lot of depth. Kyler Gordon is already ramping back up, so I consider his injury over. Jalen Johnson, they've been saying he'll be ready for week one. But that started as he was going to miss just a couple of weeks or something like that. They really underplayed that at the start of camp, so we'll see where that goes. But once they have everybody, even with the Terrell Smith injury, they're so deep at corner.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. It's probably the position where they can most afford to lose people, and they have lost them. Jason, here's what this week is going to look like. The Bears get Saturday and Sunday off. They return to practice Monday. The NFL mandates that everybody cuts from 90 to 53 players by 3 p.m. Tuesday, and then they can spend Wednesday playing the waiver wire and assembling a 16-person practice squad. So we will be with you throughout all of that. And in the interim, you can follow Jason and I on social media. Check us out at the Sun Times website or on the app on your phone. Or if you live in town, go ahead and buy a paper. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.